Hey guys, good morning, good morning. Go ahead and shove the person you're talking to. Tell them to quiet down and you will pick it up in about 25 minutes, 30 minutes, 3 hours or whatever. We'll get there. Hey, I'm going to talk today about setting of goals. Now, relax, we are not going to become a self-help church. I am going to use the Bible today. This is not a plan on how to set goals without thinking of God. But we do want to talk about goal setting. And I had a couple of quotes. My first quote is, and this is kind of, to me, this kind of sums up a lot of Christians' lives. I've had seasons of like this in my life. And I don't know who Lucius Seneca is. So you can look that up if you want. But he said, if one does not know which port one is sailing, no wind is favorable, meaning if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter how fast. And that's kind of like it is when you're a Christian. If you don't know what your end goal is, it's kind of like you can make all this momentum, all this energy, and gain no traction. So we want to look at this. You know, the Bible talks about finishing well. And I wanted to look at Proverbs 16:9. This is one of my favorite verses. And I see this in my life, and hopefully you see it in yours. I make a plan. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And a lot of times, I'll make a plan, and things don't go according to my plan. Does anybody else feel that way? Anybody at all? And I wanted to look at this in the Passion Translation. It says, within your heart, you can make plans for your future, but the Lord chooses the steps you take to get there. And so I'm just going to start with praying. So, Father, we just thank you that you choose our steps. Lord, that you show us the things in our heart. Lord, that you would begin to unfold even more what you want us to go and what direction you want us to move. But, Lord, we do trust you with the steps. We'll do the little and trust you with the rest. So I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit today about the human life cycle. We went on this before, and we all know that the human life cycle starts at conception. I get it. It's not on this timeline. But this is how life works. And now that I'm getting a little older, this really is even more so a reality to me. You're born. Who was born? Everybody. Good job. We're all included. You're born. The first 18 years of your life or so, I mean, you make some small decisions, but your life is decided, right? You get up. You go to that thing they call school. You go to the one they tell you to. You learn what they tell you to learn. And then after you graduate, this happens, and this is your early adulthood. Now, don't be offended with me, early adults. I'm just looking at my life here. There's a little spaceman. He's floating around. That was early adulthood. Like, you're trying to figure out what you're doing. You're not real sure. You're getting established. Maybe you're buying a house. Maybe you have some children. Whatever's happening, your early adulthood's happening. And then at some point, you transition to what I'm going to call bolder adulthood. Not older, bolder. And you're a little more planted. You know what you want. You know what you want to attain. You know what you want to do, hopefully. Is that correct, people older than me? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Bolder, people bolder than me. Bolder than me. All right, and then there's a reality that happens in our life. And it's here at the end. It's called the end. You know, and I think we have to be real with ourselves that at some point, we're going to get to the end. Because when you're back here and you're doing that spaceman floating thing, it doesn't feel like it's going to come. It feels like you have forever. You know, and the other day, my son, he's little. He says, how old are you? And I tell him, and he goes, wow, you're halfway done. I'm like, oh. You know, and then he does the whole Kenneth Copeland thing. He's like, my words have power. Oh, you're not halfway done. You're going to live to be 120. Okay, yeah, thanks, bud. That's good. Hope you have a good job. And so... So anyway, but this is the reality. Like, when we look at our lives, this is not the dress rehearsal. When I would, you would never know it by my performance with the words today, but I was kind of an AV geek. I ran things like spotlights and soundboards in high school, and they would have this dress rehearsal. And during the dress rehearsal, a lot of the time, people were goofing off. Like, you know, we'd spotlight the wrong guy just to get everybody all like, ah, you know, but when it's not the dress rehearsal, things are more serious. The thing about it is somewhere we need to realize that we're not in the dress rehearsal of our life. Our life is happening right now. Every day we get closer to the end. Now, for us, the end is great. You know, that's our transitioning to heaven to live forever with Jesus. We don't fear the end. We don't try to make it come quicker. You know, we don't eat our trans fats and our fake meat food and, you know, whatever we do, we try to get there. But anyway, so the reality is every second is a second you don't get back. It's no big deal if you want to relax and you have to rest. But at some point, you have to set yourself in a direction and start to move. You guys have all heard the old adage that you can't steer a ship that's not moving. It's kind of like put your hand to some plow and start plowing it and see what happens. Okay, so helpful tips for setting goals. New Year's Eve, my son, never mind, wrong slide. Okay, first thing you have to do is see yourself succeeding. Now, this isn't picturing yourself to be more awesome than you are. This isn't the power of your mind making you succeed, but it's how you view yourself. Okay, if your goal is from God, do the little you can and trust God with the rest. We all love a good underdog story. We do. We love a story where one guy and his older friend take on all these bad guys. And they win. We watched this on New Year's Eve. My son Levi wanted to watch it. For those of you who don't know, it's 36 years old. Has everybody seen this movie? Okay, you guys know the story. I'm going to tell it to you anyway. You got this guy. He learned karate from a book and a class at the YMCA. And you've got these guys that... No, he learned it from a book in the YMCA at this point in the story. Martha's seen the movie. Everyone go home and watch it because there's no football. Oh, sorry. Anyway, we love these stories. It's the one guy who shouldn't win beats all the other guys. There's another movie called Die Hard. And we love the story of one man taking out all these well-armed, well-equipped men. We love the fact that he has one gun and six bullets and he has no shoes on and he still does it. We love this stuff, right? We love David and Goliath. We love these guys. We loved this year. We love the fact that this year that just happened, there's two teams that are no longer in the playoffs, and we love that because they weren't the underdogs. Everybody's on board with that. Okay, so we love these underdog stories, except when we see ourselves as the underdog. Then suddenly we can't do it. We'll get there. All right, so we're going to look at some scripture, just so you know it's not a self-help talk. This is a lot of scripture. Turn your Bibles on or open them up. Numbers chapter 13. Bear with me, I'm going to read a good bit. But I want you guys to not only apply this to yourself, I want you to apply this as us, to us as a body. Because honestly, guys, we've had some things, both financially, where we meet, different changes that have happened around here as a church that do make us seem like the underdog. It's no big deal. We all know Daniel's son wins in the end using the secret move. We also have God. We don't have Mr. Miyagi. We have God. It's better. Trust me. Anybody see Karate Kid Part 3 where Mr. Miyagi fought? Yeah, trust me. It's better that we have God. Okay. It was pretty epic. It was like the slow-mo martial arts battle. All right, Numbers chapter 13. Then Moses sent them to... Okay, so the children of Israel, they've been walking around in the desert for how long? No, not yet. It was a trick. They just got there. They just got there. They walked right there. I know, but I got everybody. I wanted you guys to know where we were at. So anyway, they get there. They've just recently had all the plagues in Egypt. The whole army of Pharaoh, the biggest army in the land, totally got crushed by God in the sea. They've seen all these miracles, and they walk on over, and then Moses sends out 12 spies to check out the promised land. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and he said to them, "Go up this way to the south and go up to the mountain and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests or there are not, be of good courage and bring back some of the fruit of the land. Now it was the time and the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and they spied out the land. I skipped this section, the section of everybody's names. So if you want to read the names, read them on your own. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. I'm making up pronunciations, by the way. And they went up to the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, Talmai, and the descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. They came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They brought some pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted down the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with them said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report to the land which they spied out. "The land, though which we have gone as spies, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And this is where we're focused. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight." So what tends to happen, Ted got raptured. What tends to happen maybe Ted will put in a good word for you. Oh, all right, so what tends to happen is when we look at ourselves and our circumstances, and then we look at what the Lord's doing and where we're going, we look at ourselves and not at the Lord, and we become like grasshoppers in our own sight. So the question that I'm posing today, or the thing that I'm asking you to think about, is for us as Rock Community Church, not just you with your personal desires and the things that you want to walk out with the Lord, but us together, have we allowed ourselves to view ourselves as grasshoppers in our own sight? Does it seem like the things that come against us are so great, and the things that are before us to overcome, to walk around, to walk with the Lord through, are so much more powerful than us? So I put this up. When you set life goals, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as like my grasshopper? Or do you see yourself as a giant slayer? All right. So, number one was know how to see yourself. Number two, helpful tips for setting goals. Know which team you're on and who is on your team. Anybody know about these guys? 1992 U.S. basketball Olympic team. Who was alive? Who remembers? My little brother had a poster on his wall. This was called the Dream Team. So what happened was, for years and years and years, professional basketball players, once you've accepted a professional basketball contract, were no longer allowed to play in the Olympics. And then in 1992, they changed the rule. So we have a team full of professional athletes and one guy out of college. Previous years, we had mostly guys out of college before they got to the pros. So this is the 1992 U.S. men's Olympic basketball team. This was an amazing time to be alive. This was an amazing Olympics. These guys, does anybody, I'm going to read their names to you. Yeah, shout them out if you know them. Scottie Pippen, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, John Stockton, David Robinson, Magic Johnson, Carl Malone, and then some guys that did some stuff and we don't want to remember them anymore. But anyway, so guys, these guys played in the Olympics. They won every game they played in. They won the gold medal. They won every game by an average of 34 points. Of all the basketball they played, they only trailed for a total of 6 minutes. The biggest deficit they were trailing by was 4 points ever. Guess how many timeouts they called in the whole Olympics? 0 timeouts were called in the whole Olympics. These guys, it was a great Olympics. Now I want you to start to see your team like this team. Your team, we'll get into it a little more, but your team is you and God and everybody that God sends to you that wants to see you walk in the fullness of everything God has called you to. So you can put me on your team. You can put other leadership around here on your team. You can put other people on your team. And start to look at your team like this. Do you have to be very good to win with this team? You do have to play. You do have to show up. Maybe there's going to be a time where you have to make a shot or steal the ball. But this is your team. This is the other team. This is a picture. This is an advanced basketball team for basketball camp for kids. I bet these kids have $200 sneakers. Can dribble like crazy people. They probably have shooting sleeves. And they can probably talk trash. Now, you guys see my fine basketball-shaped body? I mean, basketball-shaped. And I don't think... Yeah, I guess they didn't want them. All right, so this is the other team. We'll put them both up side by side so you can see this. Oh. Okay, it's going to be there. There we go. Side by side so you can see it. Your team, you, God the Father, Holy Spirit, Son, anybody that wants to see you succeed, that God brings you. Other team, so there was probably a lot of kids in that camp, but it wouldn't matter. I want you to picture this. Other team comes with all the show. Kid comes with all his show, all his dribbling. What's going to happen when he shoots? Right, I'm just going to take the ball. You got to picture your life like this. Your team is stacked. You're going to win every game by an average of 34 and a half points. You're not going to call any timeouts. Other team. All right, let's see what was on that slide we skipped. All right, who's on your team? We went over this. You're talented and limited. You know you best. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit have all partnered with you if your dreams are from them. Us. Can you guys say us? That's us. Us. The folks that are part of your church family and other folks that are committed to you being everything God created you to be. I put the word fullness. You could use the word abundant. Jesus came so we could have life and life more abundant. Now, we are going to have stuff happen, but together we can see abundance. All right, and others. God will bring others to help you as well. Look at the two teams again. Little kids come out with their shooting sleeve, telling you you have no chance. Look at your team. I was going to Photoshop Keith in, but I had no time. All right. So you need to start. Tip number 3 for setting goals. Start with the end in mind. Making a list of goals, of short and long-term goals. I'm going to show you guys some examples. The first set of examples are kind of the way that I goal set. The second set of examples I pulled off the internet. I'll show you the website just to get you thinking. And I don't want you guys to be offended with my goals, so I may have exaggerated some of them. I may have changed some of them, but I just wanted to give you an idea. So short-term goals impact your daily behavior. Copiously writing that down, I know. All right, so I have my goals are divided into four categories: living, giving, connecting, and thriving. So here's some examples of daily goals. I want to eat better. I want to exercise. I want to get enough sleep. All right, I have some daily or short-term giving goals. I want to be supporting the local church. I know I support other things as well, but I still believe the local church is God's plan to reach the local community. And then another big priority for us is partnering with organizations that help the poor. The poor's really been on my heart even more recently. Examples of short-term goals for connecting. I want to pray with my spouse and my children daily. It's just a goal. Do I beat myself up if they don't want to pray with me? Because sometimes they act like tweens and they're not. Whatever, we'll talk about that later. And then thriving, I want to build good memories for and with my families and friends. Families, I have one family, guys. Don't freak out on that. Okay, long-term goal examples. Long-term goals establish direction and define success. So I have some long-term living goals. I have some travel goals. There's places I want to go. I wrote even Ireland because my wife really wants to go there. I don't need to go see a distillery or a bar, but I'm good. All right. I have a long-term giving goal. Establish ways to help families in transition help homeless families transition from homeless to middle class. I've worked in a community, and I've watched the poor for years and years, and I've said to the Lord, Lord, whenever you're ready for me to do something different, I'm on board. And the longer I'm there, the more I'm like, I got to do something about this. So it's a long-term goal. Right now, my short-term goal is to help other people that are already doing it, but long-term, I'd like to actually set up something and do something. I have a long-term connecting goal. I would love to celebrate 50 years of marriage with my spouse. Because I know that's my goal, that does impact my daily decisions. Because how many of you know you can wreck that? Right. All right. Thriving. I want to see my kids accept Jesus and live for him. Also, could wreck that for them. It's a long-term goal to try to steward that with them. Let's look at a way someone else sets goals. Oh, I have lifetime goals too, guys. Lifetime goals affect the world long after you're gone. I have it in the category of living. You know, and a lot of you guys want to do this. I want to leave an inheritance to my descendants. All right, I have a lifetime giving goal of giving away at least $1 million. Sounds terrible, sounds hard. We'll talk about that in a second. Lifetime goal of connecting. I want to write a book so my ideas and experiences outlive me. Will anyone read it? Who knows? And then I have a lifetime thriving goal. I have a little bucket list, just some things I want to do before the end. All right, so look at this number. There you go. If you want to give away $1 million, that's your daily giving amount. It doesn't seem like a lot. You know, it's just where I'm at. Now, that's for 80 years. I'm probably a little behind, but just kind of breaking it down in a daily way. All right, so this guy, the caffeinated theologian, this is not somebody I regularly read, so if you find something out of whack on his site, I'm really sorry. But these are his family goals. He wants to celebrate 50 years of marriage. He wants to celebrate an anniversary in Ireland. Trying to one-up me, that guy. He wants to take his kids on a mission trip. He wants to leave an inheritance. He wants to see his children accept Jesus. And he wants to pray with his wife and family daily. He has some influence goals. He wants to publish a book, speak at a high school, lead a well-functioning small group. Anybody have that goal? Because we'd love to know that. Look at all those hands. Thanks, guys. He wants to teach a college course. He wants to baptize 50 people. He wants to get his doctoral degree, but he wants to get it honorary. He doesn't want to do the work. Anybody have goals like that? I want to give away somebody else's $1 million too. All right, and he wants to start a coffee shop. All right, experience goals. I mean, you can put whatever you want in that. I mean, there's some state. He's Broadway show, Major League Baseball stadiums, parasailing, surfing, deep sea fishing. He wants to read the Bible from cover to cover in 3 translations. Go to a Packers game for some reason. Go to the Holy Land, whitewater rafting. And he wants to see the 7 wonders of the world. I've seen 2. I don't think I'll get to all 7. All right, so this is your action plan. We're wrapping this up. But the biggest thing I want you to take away from today is don't be a grasshopper in your own eyes. And don't see us together as grasshoppers. We got some giant slayers here. We've got some really gifted, awesome people the Lord wants to do some awesome things with. And if we look at churches that we think are well-equipped or better funded or have different agendas or better programs, it's not us being who we are. You know, I always look if you look at different families, you can see different family lines where, you know, everybody in that family becomes a lawyer, and then one guy's like, well, I really want to play lacrosse, and he steps out of that, and he becomes the world's best lacrosse player. Maybe that's a poor example, but what I'm saying is, for us, program-driven is not the way. You know, we can make a bunch of programs. What we want to see happen is each person walk in the fullness of what God called them to be, and fruit will be the byproduct. I don't want to see each person be a slave to a program that I would invent to keep everybody busy and feel productive. So it's a longer process, but a better outcome. All right, so don't be a grasshopper. Remember what team you're on and what team you're not on. Your team is not a bunch of little kids in $200 sneakers. Your team is stacked. Number 3, make a list of life goals. For real, there's things in your heart that God put there. And unless we realize the end is coming and start to lean into that, the end will get here before we think about it. Number 4, make a list of short-term goals. Number 5, get to know your team better. Who's on your team again? Who else? Us is good. And God, the 2 people you want to get to know better. I mean, 2 groups. Anyway, God and the group of people, you want to get to know them better. And then number 6, hey, determine a first step or 2 and take it. Take it. Determine first steps and take them. Yes. I tried out a new PowerPoint presentation background. Hard to read. It's small. There's a few seats up here, guys. There's a seat right here. All right. Well, I'm sorry. We're working on it. That whole PowerPoint system's getting changed. So, yeah. I can send you the whole slides if you want. All right. Let's stand up and pray together. So, Father, we thank you for the awesome people that you've brought to be part of this church family. Lord, we pray that you would break any even hint of thinking of ourselves too small as we're together off of us. Lord, begin to enlarge our vision for what we can do. We thank you, Lord, that you're partnered with us. We'll do the little bit we can and trust you with the rest. So, Father, we thank you that you're strengthening our team. Lord, that you would begin to highlight the people that you're bringing in to help us and for us to help. Lord, we thank you for relationships that work both ways. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to assist others as well. And we thank you, Lord, for what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have a good week. You can.